here we are. Yep, Lawn Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. I'm Tom Baker, and today is a Rumination Thursday. And we were somewhat fortunate the last two Thursdays because, unfortunately, Wes Reimnes was unable to be here, so we had really good programs. Hi, Wes.
Hello, Tom.
Oh.
There's some things I just didn't miss.
No, you sure didn't. And, nobody asked where you were.
Really?
Except for about 10 emails. What happened to Wes?
I got 10 supporters out there.
Well, you actually have four more supporters here in the studio.
Oh.
Yes. Are you ready for a big surprise?
Yes.
All righty, we are going to introduce a gentleman by the name of Bill with his wife Mary here, whose birthday it was. In fact, they just had a promo on that, and Bill has something to share with you. Go ahead, Bill.
Good morning, Pastor Reimnitz.
Morning.
This is Bill Pfeffer. You were our guest minister at St. John's Lutheran Church in New Berlin off and on a few years back when Pastor Barth would go on vacation. I think you were affiliated with the Central Illinois District at that time.
Yes. I remember you.
And then we remember your son playing football for New Berlin High School.
Yes, that's right.
I know you couldn't pick me out of a crowd, but we remember you very fondly.
Well, I remember the Pfeffers. What is it? P-F-I-E-R? Something like that?
Oh, no. It's P-F-E-F-F-E-R. It means F-F. Table. Pfeffer.
Yes.
I remember.
Yeah, we talked right after church out in front of the church there for a while.
I always tell people our last name means table pepper in German. Pfeffer.
Yeah, great to talk to you.
Thank you, Pastor Reimnitz.
Yeah, they came to talk to, you know, President Harrison, concerned about what you had said in the sermon, but he straightened them out, so.
That's not true.
So far, we have said nothing that's true on this broadcast, have we?
That's right.
So you do remember preaching there. Tell them where you're now preaching.
Well, this weekend I'm down at St. Paul's Strasburg, which is kind of between Shelbyville and Effingham, and for the 4th of July weekend. And then a couple weeks I'm at Trinity Pekin. And then that August on, I serve the vacancy at Trinity Lutheran Church in Manitou.
And say thank you to these people because they are definitely supporting KFUO.
Oh, it was wonderful. They're a wonderful couple, a great congregation there at St. John's New Berlin. It's just the love of the Lord comes from that family and from that congregation.
Who's the pastor there now?
David Benning. He's been with us now almost 2 years.
Do you know him, Wes?
Yes. His father was a school teacher at Trinity Lutheran Church in Springfield, and his father taught our children.
I was wondering about them.
Okay.
They had wonderful teachers. That's what I'm trying to say.
Oh.
By the way, you said something about his wife also.
Well, Pastor Reimnitz, didn't your wife teach at New Berlin High School?
Yes. She became a special ed administrator, and she's administrator there at New Berlin and Auburn High Schools. Oh, yes.
Well, we thought we would bring them on and just say hi to you. Joni's coming in a few minutes, and they're going to be leaving. But in fact, Joni just walked in now. And so we certainly appreciate you coming in. And see, I didn't make anybody talk. Except for Bill. Anything more you want to say, Bill?
Pastor Baker, we just want to thank you for all you do.
Well, I sure appreciate that.
It's just a wonderful ministry, and it really makes a difference in people's lives, strengthens our faith.
The gospel always does. We sure appreciate it.
Thank you, Pastor.
Joni will take care of you now, and thank you very much for dropping in, and a happy birthday to you. By the way, Wes, I told them to go to White Castle, but for some reason they want to go somewhere else.
Not everybody has your culinary taste.
Yes, I know. All right. Thanks very much. So you were on a trip.
Yeah.
Tell us about the trip.
Well, there was myself and five other ladies. Well, they were all special ed administrators, you know.
Well, they needed to be special ed with you.
That's right. But they're very special people with teaching the children.
And you were on a ship?
Yep. We were on a cruise line. We flew into British Vancouver.
Oh, yeah.
And
British Columbia.
British Columbia. And we were there. We were there for a day or two in Vancouver, and then we sailed for about 7 to 10 days up towards Alaska.
Oh, sure.
So we got into places like Ketchikan, Juneau, Anchorage area, Skagway, Fairbanks. Fairbanks is quite a bit inland, which we took a train to there. We got into Glacier National Park. And it was an interesting 2,600 people on this ship.
Now, was it a Christian group, or were there just Christians there?
It was a mixture of all religions.
Oh, my.
Including Christians.
Uh-huh.
What was interesting is the Christians were willing to sit down and kind of talk with one another about some of the differences or some of the things they ran across, but you didn't get too much out of the non-Christians.
Well, the goal or the menu for today's program is your vacation trip. And did you learn anything how to relate to fellow Christians who are not Lutheran?
Oh, yes. It was quite interesting. First of all, I ran into Methodist law enforcement officer from Ohio and his wife, and they had one of their children, of course, is Methodist, and the other one, their in-law, son-in-law, was a Roman Catholic, and they decided to become Lutherans, and just loving it. They just love what they're learning about Lutheranism. They're encouraged by it, and the congregation is just warm and loving and acceptable, you know, in the Lutheran faith.
Yeah, every now and then, my wife and I went to the Caribbean, and I was with 4 women. Yeah, I was with 4 women also. my wife, my mother, and 2 of our Sunday school teachers. And we had a wonderful time. I couldn't believe, I don't know about your ship, but you could have hot chocolate 24 hours a day and pizza 24 hours a day, plus meals at midnight and everything. I could hardly believe, I thought I was in heaven.
I wouldn't know about that. My wife kept me on a tight leash.
Oh, boy.
My diet.
Yeah, fortunately, I was able to escape from my wife. It was a big ship, so. But
I could say that, but she's listening.
Oh, boy. Yes. Now, sometimes they do lectures there, and sometimes it's not exactly what we believe. Did anything like that happen?
Oh, yeah. It was quite interesting when yeah, there's 2 different schools of thought there, but like in Alaska, we'd be talking with the Native Americans and how they got started, and they would talk about how they go back 10,000 years, 14,000 years, and how they came across the land bridge and formed their country. You know, I mean. That's about as far as it got.
Yep.
But they looked into evolution.
Oh, they did. Did they say how old the Earth was or something like that?
Well, what was interesting in the national parks, our national park rangers with these glaciers, will talk about the rock formations forming over millions of years and hundreds of thousands of years.
Oh, boy.
The ice age, And then you could just kind of watch, stand the crowd, and you could see people rolling their eyes like, right.
Yes, you know, the majority of people do not believe in evolution in the United States of America, as is taught by the elites in the various colleges and such like that. I was even listening to a cooking show, and it's one of my favorites. It's called Good Eats. And the host, he has wonderful ways of cooking, and I enjoy listening, write them down, try it myself. Well, what he was talking about was a gentleman, and they were talking about chickens. And the gentleman actually said that a chicken is a reverse evolution. They were able to fly and things like that, but now they can't. And so I was just really amazed how much even was on that program. This is a cooking show. Did you stand up and say anything when they said that?
Well, I made a few comments, and my wife, of course, gave me a little rib cage and said, remember, you know, you're here to have fun, not cause controversy. But it was interesting because, you know, some of these tour groups and things that I was in and among, that you could hear them under their breath go, right, yeah, like that didn't happen.
You're right, right. So did you have any conversation with individuals on topics?
Ran into some devout Methodists that we got on the topic. I heard you had a convention. This yeah, we had one. We narrowly escaped having gays as clergy in
yes.
the church. And, you know, so we talked about it, very much opposed to it. And I'm of the opinion from talking to them and talking to a few other Methodists on the cruise ship that there'll be a bunch of them leaving if that ever happened.
Well, look what's happened to the Episcopalian Church in the United States.
Yes. They're very much opposed to it.
And look who's really leading the charge against that in the Episcopalian Church are the African churches.
Really?
Oh, very conservative. In fact, we're having our own convention in Milwaukee pretty soon here, and I understand you're going to be going to that. Well, I just read an article how we are in communion fellowship with a number of other churches, and the convention is going to be voting to do that even more. One particular denomination overseas have voted against women ordination, even though they have it, and I believe they're going to be coming into fellowship with us.
Mm. There's a group. I read through some of the resolutions when I got home. There's one, too, to North American Lutheran Church that they want to enter into fellowship with.
Yes. Yeah, this is one wonderful because we've got great people at the Synod who are going out and talking about Christianity, and more people are recognizing the unique features of Lutheranism and how... I'll bet you if you would ask any of those other Christians on the ship, what is the basic teaching of Lutheranism, they wouldn't know.
No, they wouldn't. But, you know, you start talking about the love of Jesus and his dying upon the cross for the forgiveness of our sins and the promises that are connected to that. They go, oh, yeah, we believe that, too. I said, that's very Lutheran of you.
Well, you know, I believe that the faith that God puts into the heart is definitely in agreement with Lutheran teaching, but by the time it gets up to the head, a lot of times people get confused. So the purpose of every Bible study, every radio show here, every sermon, is to get your head to catch up with your heart.
Exactly, and I think that's so important that when we're out there witnessing, it isn't about the differences so much as that we lead them to Jesus.
Yeah, you said something really important that I talked about this week. I said it's not sufficient to say that Jesus Christ died on the cross because that's just an historical event. You said Jesus Christ died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins.
That's right.
Until you add that part in, the Holy Spirit really has nothing to work with to create faith. Because faith is trust in a promise, and the death on the cross isn't in and of itself a promise.
And I think that's very important. And it's important when you're taking time to talk with some people to see how many of them believe in the promises that Christ died for me.
Well, what I want to talk about a little bit for our listeners is the techniques you used, and your wife is pretty wise there, is you don't insert yourself in the conversation, but you wait until the appropriate time when somebody may be asking you a question. Did they know you were a pastor?
The ladies I was with did.
Well, yeah, they're your friends.
But unless they asked me, I didn't volunteer what I was. But it was interesting. I wore my seminary class ring, which had a cross on it.
Oh.
And several times I was asked, interesting ring. Could you tell me about it?
Excellent. So what you're saying is that when our folks go on ocean trip liners, on the train, on the plane, maybe they need to have some object that people might be curious about that could lead to a conversation.
Right. You know, it can be an object. It can be asked about where you're from and what do you do and things like that. I ran into a couple of Methodists. He's law enforcement officer from Ohio. Going to be at the Republican National Convention to help prevent rioting and violent acts. And it was just quite interesting that I was asking him about his life. And that next thing you know, he turns the tables and he starts asking me, what do I do?
Yes. Yeah, you see, I should have told you ahead of time. When I was on the ocean liner, they had contests, and one of them was ping pong. And the way you win ping pong is, the first time I went to play, you wear your collar. And the people are so frazzled, you know, playing against a pastor, and I won. Yeah, I actually got a certificate for being the best player. But then they had another contest later on, and there was this Chinese individual who just beat me. So he couldn't care less if I was a pastor or not. He just used his better sports techniques, and I lost the second time around.
Well, you know, it wouldn't have made any difference. I'm a horrible ping pong player. But my wife came in second out of 2,600 cruisers, and the winner was from Northern Illinois.
It was that for who had the best husband? What was the contest?
Ping pong.
Oh, it was ping pong.
Yeah,
wow.
She came in number two out of the cruise ship.
Remind me not to play her.
Oh, so you got these farmer types that were playing, and they were just taking on the Chinese and the Filipinos. And I was surprised because the Chinese and Filipinos were excellent players.
Oh, yes. Yes, they're very good at that. Even at the Sim, the one year I won, there were no Orientals there who were playing. And so it was a lot easier. But, boy, they just practice a lot. They follow that rule, you know, if you do something for 10,000 hours, you really become very good at it.
Right.
So getting down to what we want to talk about here, therefore, is that when a Christian goes into a public setting, one thing he or she could do is to have something that people might ask about that would lead to, oh, yes, I'm a Lutheran, and this is the ring, or this is the cross I'm wearing. I wouldn't advise wearing a hat saying people who aren't Lutherans go to hell. That probably wouldn't be a good idea.
No, it doesn't.
Although it might have a lot of questions.
Well, you know,
but we don't believe that anyway.
Right. One of the things, you know, this weekend we're celebrating the 4th of July, you know, on Monday.
Yes.
And we're talking about the freedoms that we so wholly dear here in America.
Freedom of speech, freedom of religion.
Okay,
yes.
There you go. Freedom of religion. Not freedom from religion.
No.
And not freedom to sit out there and banter back and forth. But we have an excellent opportunity to witness. And I think that's something that I saw very much on the cruise ship that they're concerned about, that we had that freedom of religion and the ability to sit down and talk with one another.
Well, you know, and a lot of times you can start a conversation about Jesus in dealing with something that's happening in the country. For example, while you were on vacation, the Supreme Court ruled that the state of Texas doesn't really have the right to control abortion clinics as to whether or not, you know, it's a proper doctor there and this sort of thing. Well, our president, who, by the way, was reelected already, Matthew Harrison, already has put out a reaction to that. And anybody can read that by going to lcms.org and then type in the search thing, Texas and Harrison, and that should come up. Because we Christians can really talk to issues that are going on in the country also if the Bible gives us some guidance in that area.
I think that's an excellent point, and it never came up at the cruise ship, but you could tell everybody was pretty much family oriented. You know, losing babies is not one of them.
No. Well, the problem with the cruise ship is you really don't know kind of what's going on in the world while you're on there, because you're not seeing newspapers that come. Now, if you have a computer and they allow it and such, but sometimes you get into areas where it's not able to be reading anything, even from the sky.
Well, and quite truthfully, I turned off the television, I turned off the cell phone.
No, that's true.
And just took time to relax.
Yeah, so you're ready for the preaching coming up in the future here.
That's right.
So what do you think would be the most notable item that occurred on your trip?
Oh, well, the fun that we had, but the wonderful opportunity we had to share, because those that did find out I was a pastor, they would want to sit and ask questions, or we would have discussions on topics. And,
excellent.
And that was just a wonderful opportunity. We never got into the Northern Lights, which I found kind of curious.
The Northern Lights? Aurora Borealis.
Yes, that occurs somewhere between October and November.
Was there any particular group there that really were anxious to see that?
Well, they say that it fills up with the Orientals, and they want to come and try and conceive children during the time of the Borealis.
Oh, really? Is that a custom in overseas?
It must be, because the locals were saying that they believe that their children are blessed if they're conceived under the Borealis
period. Wow.
And, of course, my comment was, mm-hmm. We can bless our children anytime, any place, at the altar font with Holy Baptist.
Yes. You can't get a better blessing than heaven, for sure, is your home, and faith given to you by the Holy Spirit. And those people who don't think that can happen to a child, all they need to do is read John the Baptizer leaping for joy in the womb when he was only 6 months old, when Jesus came into the room in the womb of Mary, and he was only a few hours old.
And you can date it, time it.
Yep.
Know that particular point, that blessing occurred.
See, this is why we just had a couple of weeks here with missionaries going overseas, and part of the reason they were here, they were learning about the cultures of the people that they're going to and how best to bring in the message of the Bible to fit that particular culture. So if you got a group who is really concerned about their children being blessed, wow, what good news to tell them that, no, that can occur through the waters of baptism.
Excellent point.
So, anything else before we conclude?
Oh, it was wonderful. It was wonderful you brought on the Pfeiffers. If memory serves me right, he was also the mayor of New Berlin.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Very humble guy.
Yes, yes. We had other people here. His wife Mary was here, and then Jim and Charlotte were also here. But Bill was the one who was willing to speak on the microphones. And I said, oh, no, this will be great for Pastor Reimnitz to hear that his ministry still has an impact, especially as they continue to support KFUO, at least the program when you're on it.
Yeah, I got a few emails, private emails, saying, where did I go?
Yes, I know. All right, thanks so much. You're not going on another trip next week, are you?
Just to church.
Okay, well, thanks so much. And that was Pastor Wes Reimnitz speaking with us here on KFUO for Rumination Thursday. And tomorrow is Open Mic Friday. You might have some questions about what we've spoken of or anything else of a theological nature. Don't hesitate to call in. I'm Tom Baker. Till tomorrow, then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.